Welcome back to the BK Spades Show. I am your host, the BK Spades, here with my very lovely co-host,
Novocaine, baby.
All right, Spades gang, we're about to get into this show. Yo, Spades gang, welcome to a brand new episode of the BK Spades Show. Today is just going to be Novocaine and I. I know it's usually deeper on the screen, but it's the season finale. We want to kind of end things with the way we started. And, you know, you're going to see a lot of the other, I don't want to say characters, but they really are. A lot of the other people later on in season 7.
The rest of the team.
The rest of the squad.
The squad. The other characters. The rest of the characters.
We're supposed to have a serious conversation today. We're gonna keep the okay. Y'all know we gonna make jokes at some point because it's just us.
The jokes are gonna naturally come. That's just a natural thing.
But given how recent events and things have been going in the world, we kind of wanted to focus on the disrespect of the black man, or at least the perception of that being a thing. So we want to ask the question, or answer the question, whether or not the black man is under siege. Let's get into this topic a little bit here. And you know what? I want to start here because I feel like it all ties in together. Let's start with Elon Musk buying Twitter.
Oh, Lord.
Don't be like that.
You decided that's where we're going to start at.
Well, for the timeline, it's kind of important. Because, like, all of this connects to Twitter a lot. So, I feel like we have to start there. So, Elon Musk, we know the timeline already. We've heard it all around. Elon Musk wanted to buy Twitter. He overpaid for, like, $44 billion for it. That is way overpriced, right? So, here recently, you know, he tried to get out of it. Legally, he couldn't. So, I guess he was making... What is it? Lemonade out of lemons? And they're the same? Whatever. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So
that's the saying. You're right.
The moment he acquires Twitter officially, the N-word goes up 500%. Yeah, that's it. I found that was an interesting statistic. That racial... But it's very racist. It was always been racist on Twitter, though. Like, racism is literally everywhere, but I'm finding it odd and weird that this whole free speech thing is only going one way, right? They were saying that they were being, a lot of the right-wing people, a lot of the GOP, a lot of evangelicals, those type of people were saying that they couldn't speak their mind on platforms like Twitter and Facebook in lieu of being banned, right? And they wanted their free speech. But I find it odd that their free speech, like, they can only have their free speech if someone else don't have theirs. So they want to silence black people, but they want to say whatever they want to say. Again, 500%, the N-word went up being typed inside of Twitter by 500% people. I am utterly shocked by that number.
I'm shocked too. Like, and then who's taking tabs on it? Like, whose job is that? I hate that for them.
I think it's the same thing that Google does, though. Like, everything is being calculated all the time.
Everything's being calculated.
Every word you say is being tracked all the time.
I don't know how to feel about that. I honestly don't know how to feel about that because. Who really are these people that are tweeting all the time? You know, like, people that use these outlets constantly, are they really the people that's out here doing the same thing in real life?
No. So,
that's the issue. So, then, you know, here go that conspiratorial side.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. Conspiratorial. That is a word, y'all.
That's a word. It gotta be a word.
It's our word. We say this all the time on this
show. We say it all the time. We say it all the time. But it gotta be something behind it. It has to be, because out of all things, out of all people, when he acquires Twitter, why would it go up 500,000? I was about to say 500,000, Lord Jesus. 500%. Why would it go up 500%?
I feel like it's more of Elon Musk made himself seem like the savior of free speech.
Mm-hmm. And but we already had it, like you said. As long as we're not threatening each other.
Yeah, but that's the illusion though, right?
Mm-hmm. Like
you put your faith in a bunch of billionaires to allow you to have free speech. Think about the irony of that. It's mm-hmm. a God-given right, but you need a billionaire to tell you you can have free speech. Newsflash, the Twitter rules aren't really going to change. Mm-hmm. He said that, but he's backtracked that, because this man overpaid for Twitter, right? $44 billion. That is way overvalued. That is a number he suggested, I believe, and he kind of walked into that trap. But at the same exact time, he has to make his money back. Mm-hmm. How do you make your money? You need advertisement, right? You need mm-hmm. big business, big companies to come in and say, hey, we will give you this amount of money to put our ad on the platform to keep your ball rolling. Because let's just be real, we not paying for something that we've been getting free this entire time. So it's hard to convert things over into now you have to pay.
Why he said some mess about basically for some tweets you'll be allowed to go further on the character limit. And I have a huge issue with this, because that's the point of a tweet. Supposed to be short, simple, and to the point. That's the whole point. If you want to go write a dissertation, head over to Facebook, because they allow that now. You know? Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, you know, we still had character limits on Facebook, but
yeah.
And I think they went up in the character limit on Twitter, what, about years ago or something?
They did.
They ended up going up on the character limit. Now you're saying that basically it's going to be unlimited? No, I don't want that. Send me a link to click on so I could visit that person's page.
Yeah, I'd rather do that too, because that was the basis of Twitter is hindering. When it comes down to big business, this is why they've never been able to make any significant money. Now, remember, they tried Twitter Blue recently. They tried to, which is okay. We used it for our page, you know, putting videos up for 10 minutes. But really, though, ain't nobody on Twitter watching 10 minute videos all the time, because it's not enough of them to warrant it. It's mm-hmm. warranted that, especially when you have TikTok, who is keeping things short, sweet, and simple. If you go into a TikTok and you see one that's like 2-3 minutes long, you are already like, oh gosh, how long is this TikTok going to be? Mm-hmm. Like, we're just not, society isn't built for long form content. Like, even we have to shorten our videos on outside of the live stream sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So Twitter itself kind of put itself in a trap when it was created. It was working well then they acquired Vine for video content. That went under. Speaking of Vine, Elon Musk also suggested bringing Vine back to compete with TikTok.
TikTok. I mean, if TikTok is really seriously controlled by the Chinese. I had to think about it.
You made it though. You made it. Also, if you're just coming into the stream, you know, welcome. It's good to see you. Do us a favor, hit that like button and subscribe to the channel. But yeah.
And share this stream as well.
Yeah, please. And share with your friends.
But if China is actually in control over TikTok, I mean, I wouldn't mind heading back to Vine in 7 seconds. Oh, well, if he's extended the limit on Twitter, they probably would try to extend the limit on Vines these days and times as well.
Yeah, I'm okay with going back to Vine. But also, he's talking about charging for Twitter, so you gonna pay? Not heck no. Just a Twitter blue, just a blue check mark. So if you get a blue check mark, they're talking about charging like what, $20, somewhere between $8 and $20.
No. Twitter has been around since when? 2010?
It's been a while. It's been
something like that. People have done nothing to get a blue check mark. And now you want me to spend $20 to what?
Somewhere between $8 and $20, and then he had some conversations with some celebrities that was like, I'm not doing this. And then he was like, what about $8? Would you pay $8? So he's just trying to make his money back. I feel him on that though. I understand the struggle. You paid for something, overpaid, you tried to get out of it, you couldn't get out of it, and now you got to find the money.
He's going to get his money back. I understand. I understand completely. Me personally, no.
All right. Let's move on. So I wanted to bring up Twitter because a lot of the other stuff that we're going to talk about kind of permeates from the Twitter feed. While Twitter is not a huge number of people on there from society, it's still a significant chunk that has moved legislature. It has controlled the narrative on who gets counseled and who's not counseled. And speaking of those people who get counseled on Twitter like all the time, let's talk about Kanye. And we're not. I know. I promise we're not gonna like focus this entire thing on Kanye, but we kind of have to talk about him because recently his worst recently is kind of like the bridge for a lot of other stuff all of a sudden.
Yeah,
and it kind of goes back to Nick Cannon too, because we saw how things happened with Nick when he made his anti-Semitic, and we talked about this already in the past episode. We're not going to retread that water at all, but it seems like the biggest issue here as far as Kanye's words, I'm not saying he didn't tell any truth. I'm sure I didn't listen to the whole thing, which is also a part of the problem for a lot of this conversation, because everybody didn't listen to the entire thing, so they kind of misconstrued what he was saying. But at the same time, I think the biggest issue out of everything him and Nick said was that the black people are the real Jews and the other set of Jews are just Jew-ish. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, was he bugging?
I don't have any.
You don't have any thoughts on that? That might be be the right answer.
Because there's nothing I can say right now, because you know the way that things are set up these days and times, any type of thing, and next thing you know I'm losing the little bit that I got. So no, I don't think I have any thoughts on that at the moment. Go ahead for the next one.
You was like, get me out of this. I'm gonna let you get. Okay, so what? So what do you think? Do you think it's fair what they're doing to him after he said what he said? Let's take it there.
No, definitely not. You don't. We're talking about Kanye.
You're still talking about Kanye. Is it fair that kicked him out of his banks, took away his deal with Adidas and a few other companies? Did y'all see that gnat running around my room? He's all on camera. No.
Now, there is a part of me that feels like this sick, evil genius that he is. This was the only way that he could possibly get out of these contracts that he was in. We talked about this as well on a previous episode. But that's just my view on things. I don't think he think that it would have went this far, but he knew that something would have happened. Two, he did make a statement about how he felt like a slave in these contracts. And then everybody went back to the slavery is a choice comments that he made. A lot of times people don't realize that just because we're saying things does not mean that they do not apply to our own life. Maybe he felt like he was making the choice to be a slave as well with all of these contracts he made and signed, you know? So I do feel some type of way because it was like a cascading effect of just company after company, the freaking banks like deuces.
That was wild to me. I think for me, that's the most egregious part.
That was the worst part for me.
Banks controlling free speech now?
Yeah, that was what was really tripping me out. And it was a free speech thing, you know, like, that's supposed to be one of our First Amendment rights and everything. And people are like, well, your words should have consequences, blah, 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 blah. Y'all talk all this trash, but we've had designers, these clothing companies make mockeries of our people, and you still shop with them.
Yep.
Get out of here with this madness, people.
They literally profited off of blackface.
They profited off the blackface. What, Gucci had the little muzzle thing that they re-released. Yep. And that was something that they used during slavery. They put the monkeys on the t-shirt for H&M. People, I didn't see any of these companies lose not one penny. Not one time did we see an article saying, oh, they dropped revenue in the past quarter because of their comments or because of what they released. They had an entire team put these pieces of clothing out and nothing happened.
Yeah.
But he says one thing, this is his opinion because I mean, I think there was a couple of things that he may have said. In fact, I'm not too sure because, like you said, you didn't watch the whole thing and I didn't either. But what he said was mostly based off of opinion, and you're taking literally everything. Words should have consequences. You guys are sensitive. Sensitive. All right? Let's get this straight.
I think the better word is you guys are hypocritical.
Very, very because, heavy.
Because you're coming off after someone who does not hold any precedence over anybody's lives, for real. Like, and I don't want to make this some big political thing, but it kind of is. We've seen people literally recreate timelines for January 6th to say it was just a peaceful day and no one should be prosecuted for what happened, or it was Antifa that was really there. There were no Trump supporters there. And I'm not doing this to bag on Trump supporters. If you support Trump, do that. I'm just using that to contrast the situation here, because you have things like that happen. But plenty of bankers in the past have damn near crippled this economy because of decisions they have made. And we've given them positions either at other companies or in government or as advisors or as lobbyists. So it's like we live in a country where it's okay for some to do certain things, but it's not okay for other people to do and say certain things as well. Like, you have to play free speech completely the same across the board. And this is the part that we don't have here. If you say it's okay for this person over here to disrespect black people, or disrespect the Mexican people, or disrespect the Puerto Rican people, or disrespect the Chinese people, or the Japanese people, if that is all okay, then it should be okay for Kanye to have his opinions and say whatever he said and then move on from it. Tell him he was wrong. You know, if you're giving these people over here that's in government and big business these slaps on the wrist, you kind of have to give him the slap on the wrist too. That's all I'm saying. Now, did he say that shit? Yeah, he said that shit. But that's just me. I'm like, if you did it, you did it. But you kind of have to make sure that the crime, whatever the consequences of the crime that you think is being committed, has to be the same across the board. If I go out here and I unalive someone, and then I get life, and then somebody in the same area with the same police force, with the same judge, with the same jury, the only difference between me and that guy is his skin tone, and he unalive someone the same manner I did, then that person needs to have the same sentence as me. You can't go out here and say, you get 5 months for what you did, but this guy over here, he looked evil, more evil than you, so he gets life.
Yeah.
That's unfair. And that's what it's basically what's happening with Kanye at this point. But I think the solution would be is the people that he were talking, that he was talking reckless about, they control the institutions in which his entire enterprise stood on, for the most part. And it was to his detriment at this point. First of all, Kanye still has money. He'll be fine. That's why I'm like, we're past Kanye now. But it's the precedent that is being set now, because free speech as a whole is now under attack, technically. Now it's actually under attack, technically. So, and this is when the argument comes in that we need our own institutions. We need our own factories. We need our own banks. We have our own banks, by the way. We should probably be banking there more to give. And I'm not saying only black people bank with black people. It's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that there are other institutions that are controlled by other types of people that we should also put our money in as well. Not only black people, but everybody. Because we need a variety. You have to understand that a lot of the banks, they all kind of owned in the cluster. Most companies own things in the cluster.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you just look at Google and YouTube, they own things in the cluster. Facebook own things in the cluster. This is how it works. So you're essentially only paying one person. You're essentially only paying one group of people. So they have so much control over several different entities, and hell, you might not even know it. If you ever research what Nestle, the company Nestle owns, you would be surprised at just how much that one company owns, from bottled water to chocolate. That's a lot. So we just need more variety of ownership, and not just making this some black and white thing. This is a everybody thing. We all need more people owning more things in different industries. So when we get under attack here in this one corner unfairly, then you move to somewhere else. But you can't do that if one person owns everything, because eventually you're still gonna be answering to that one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost like a monopoly light here in America a lot of times.
Very true.
Anything else about Kanye himself? Because we got to move on to the after effects.
The after effects. Let's move on to the after effects. Boy, that Kanye.
Okay, so one after effect of the we're gonna call it the Kanye effect at this
the
point.
Kanye effect.
And it's not. It's just how everyone else is perceived now after this big Kanye debacle, because mainstream media seems to really want to paint him as like the supervillain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think he really is. I'm not supporting Kanye by any measure. I'm just saying we got to keep things a buck across the whole horizon here. But the Kanye effect affected Kyrie Irving recently here. Mm-hmm. I said here like he in my city. Recently here.
Recently here in time.
In time. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up putting out this tweet about, and dang, I forgot the name of the documentary. Do you know what it's called? There's a documentary that's on Amazon that he ends up retweeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of those black people are the real Jew type of documentaries. He simply retweeted it. I don't think he owns it. I don't think he had a hand in creating it. He only retweeted the thing, and the backlash has been overwhelmingly unfair toward him.
Mm.
And now the Nets won't, before they suspended him, mm-hmm, without pay, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're saying before he can come back, I got it somewhere.
Before I got he can that come, right here.
You do? You know exactly what they want him to do?
Yeah, apologize, condemn the movie, $500,000 donation to anti-hate causes, sensitivity training, wow, anti-Semitic training, wow, meet with ADL Jewish leaders, meet with Joe Zay, maybe, or Tay, to demonstrate understanding. Wow. I thought it was Josai. Wow. Was it Josai? Okay, maybe Sai. To demonstrate understanding. Wow. 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 Wow.
That's a lot. Because
they've been trying to silence Kyrie ever since, I want to say, the vaccine.
I want to say that too. Which, as much as even on this show, we were going from the mainstream, notably with the vaccine, where we were like, we're not sure it actually came from a leak in China, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Apparently, we were bamboozled on that one because it actually did. So, wow, right? Who knew? Hard to trust. It's kind of hard. And I'm not being anti-vaccine. I took the vaccine. I'm just saying that apparently we were wrong on that. But anyway, we're talking about Kyrie right now.
People were losing their jobs and everything over there. But I want to say I felt like that was the earliest. But even before then, Kyrie wasn't like conforming to the way that I feel like they wanted him to think. So, or act in that manner. And he's the complete opposite. And they've just been trying to figure out a way to just get rid of him, I guess. So what other way but to seem like he's standing in solidarity with Kanye?
Yeah.
And right on the heels, because I want to say what the Kanye thing popped off about 2 weeks ago.
Three weeks ago. Yeah.
So it's like, boom, boom, boom. And like you said, he didn't say anything. He just retweeted. And then they tried to put him in the trick bag when they was asking him after the game. And he was like, why are we talking about this? We're supposed to be talking about basketball.
Right. And then he was like, didn't he apologize already?
I believe he had already apologized, but like, it's too much. It's really too much. There's something I want to say about for the black man, but I'm going to leave that for closer to the end. So, yeah.
I want to say the NBA has a history of this. As a fan, and y'all know I love my Lakers, man. But as a fan, I feel like the NBA has a history of silencing those people or attempting to silence those people who doesn't completely conform to what they want them to conform in whatever moment it is. I mean, look at what happened to AI, or back in the day when they wanted the players to dress a certain type of way or do a certain type of thing. You know, the hip hop culture was taking over and they didn't like that. Let's say it that way. So they wanted to silence the movement, you know, so because they didn't find it acceptable. Mm-hmm. The league was black enough, I guess. I don't know. But this thing that's happening to Kyrie, I think it's unfair. I think it's overblown. And anytime you say something against that community, it seems like it's just taking to the max on like the smallest of infractions. Mm-hmm. And even with Kanye and Kyrie, even though these situations are totally different, it seems like they are being handled the same exact way.
Yeah.
And y'all know Kyrie not doing all that, by the way.
I haven't watched the movie myself, but from what I do understand, it's like the movie itself is definitely anti-Semitic, because they're like saying terrible things like the Holocaust never existed and things like that. So I can understand the hurt and the anger from the movie itself.
Yeah.
But it's on Amazon. No one is talking about, oh, I'm going to unsubscribe from Amazon for half of this on their platform. Because you can buy it on Amazon. I'm not going to unsubscribe from Amazon. I'm not going to I don't know who the owner is now, but
Jeff Bezos still has 10% of the company, which he could get sued
too. Throw him in there too. No one is saying these things, you know. No one said that part. No one said anything about the production company. No one said anything about the writers for the movie. It's the simple fact that he retweeted a tweet.
What if he was just retweeting it? You know how we share stuff like, okay, this for me later, so I can remember to go back and
watch, you know, it or something. Yeah,
you know, he was probably at work. You know, he was probably on the court,
or taking just for a moment. Conversation starter.
Or a conversation starter. Like, it could have been anything.
People got to get out their feelings with this whole, everything I retweet is how I feel. I retweet and share a lot of things. That doesn't mean that that's what I feel. But then
because he has money, to
show how much social media has so much of an influence, supposedly, on our real life. A lot of people are merging social media into our real lives, and it's not the same thing.
It's not
the same.
There are things that I see on social media that I wouldn't even take 10 seconds to look at in real life.
Because if that's the case, we would be living all in an understanding, happy-go-lucky, joyful space.
Like, for a lot of us, we don't even know what anti-Semitism is.
I'm still trying to put a grasp on it at this point.
Right?
Because, at this point.
You know, I thought it was just
one thing.
Yeah.
But now I'm starting to think it's a whole other thing.
It's starting to feel like.
What's the Oxford definition of it?
Look that up. Because right now it's starting to feel like anytime you say the word Jew and you put anything negative behind it.
Anything negative, right?
Yeah. It's like, oh, hold up.
I can see if the negativity was something that was condemning it and just like speaking, like, I don't know.
People were getting upset because people said the Jewish people own a lot of entertainment, a lot of places where, you know, a lot of banks and stuff like that, and they run the world. I'm like, that's anti-Semitic? I didn't know. I didn't know, but somebody is whole heated arguments between blue checks and news sites and everything is saying, yes, it is. I'm like, man, okay. This is confusing. And if there are any Jewish people watching this, please explain it to us. This is our season finale, by the way. So
we'll have to do a special episode if it's before season 7 premiere.
But if there's a chance we can have a better understanding and a clarification of what it is, by all means, hit me up. I will love to have this conversation because I want to have a better understanding. You know how we do here. We want to understand.
There you go. Anti-Semitism in the Oxford Dictionary is uncountable, hates towards or unfair treatment of Jews. I don't think anybody said anything hateful.
Yeah, so is there anything hateful about pointing out that they own a lot of stuff?
Is that hateful? Is it hateful to say that a different type of person was that your type of person first? When a lot of people already believe that this one type of person were the first people of all? I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. I'm just saying a lot of people do believe in that altogether, the whole big spectrum. So it's like a little bit hypocritical if you say you believe in that, but then I don't know. I'm not going to say it. I ain't going to say it.
So I was in a live, right, the other day on TikTok, and they were having, it was a bunch of, you know, it was mostly white. I don't think it was a black person in the conversation, actually. But they were talking about Christianity, Judaism, and it was a 100% Jewish man in there, and he was explaining some of the things they believe and what they don't believe. And the conversation was going really pleasant until that one Christian guy, or I think he was like a converted Jew, but he believed in Jesus. It was confusing for me because the other guy was like, we don't believe in Jesus. I didn't know that. So he was like, don't tell me how to be a Jew. And the thing why he was making his argument of why people shouldn't tell him how to walk in his faith, which I agree with. You can't tell. That's what the other guy did. You can't tell a person how to walk in their faith. It's very...
You can't.
It's a thing.
You can't. You can't. So that's their own personal choice. You can't tell anybody how to do that.
Yeah, especially when you've been studying it all your life. Like, hold on, player, you've been on this earth 10 years. You're trying to tell me something I've been studying for 30. Get out of here. but he said that, I think it's the mother side. Like, if your mother was a Jew, then you're a real Jew. But if your father was the only Jewish person and, like, say he married a black woman, like, I don't think that counts. So I'm like, that is such a confusing thing, because usually it's like the opposite when it comes down to these things that's passed down genetically. And I say that to say this, because in the comment section right now, we got Kevin in here. What's happening, Kev? Good to see you again. And he said, Judaism is a religion, right?
That's a religion. That's yes. A religion.
But, you know, even the Christian Bible talks about Jewish people and the whole war in between who is the real Jewish people. So this is still an ongoing thing even after all these years.
I got another definition. I got two more definitions for you, right?
Do you think? Let's hear them.
This is from Merriam-Webster. Hostility toward or discrimination against Jews as a religious, ethnic, or racial group. And then when you just search it by itself, Google Dictionary is they say from Oxford Languages, hostility to or prejudice against Jewish people. So
okay, it sounds like anything could literally be, from what you just said and how I'm interpreting it, it literally sounds like anything. Could be anti-Semitism. Like, and it's, I can anything. Say, oh man, did you know that Jews own 90% of the world? They don't. I'm just using the number, people.
Yes.
But then if I come out and say that. And then if I come, that's fine. But if I come out and say, Jews own like 90% of the damn world, anti-Semitism. Is that what it is? Like, if I say it in a nice way.
I think so.
If I say it in a nice way, not anti-Semitism. But if I say it in a negative way.
I think so. If there's some hostility behind it, if anything negative behind it, anti-Semitism. I can't say it too many times. Anti-Semitism. I can't say the words too many times.
I feel like it's, we say it way too many times now.
We have. It's anti-Semitic. Anything that's negative.
So do you think this is the, and this is going back into the, is the black man under siege conversation?
Yes.
We need to round this out. Do you think this is the media wanting just another version of a race war? Because I've heard that around certain circles too.
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. Because I wouldn't say as much as a race war, because I don't think us as a people, we would rage against any other war when we're warring against ourselves. But I definitely think that they are under siege. I really do think that the black man is under attack. And I definitely think that we're being silenced one by one. Yes. Mm. Most definitely. Let's see how the numbers go on this episode here. You know, just the way that is named and what we're, the content that we're going to put out behind this. Let's just see how far it goes. You know, we've been doing pretty good, you know, these past couple of months. Yeah. But just because it's this conversation, just because we're even asking the question, just because we're even trying to find some understanding behind it, where are we going to get the answers? How far are we going to go?
I know who ain't got the answers, though.
Sway.
Sway ain't got the answers.
I knew he was about to say that.
Kanye shouldn't have never gave me that nugget, man. It's my favorite thing to say.
It's
now.
Very unfortunate. And I feel like a lot of us that I know in a lot of our peer groups and everything, and even just growing up with different types of people, I know for a fact that the black man was just a lackluster character. I can say in today's time, the black man definitely has stepped up. Stepped up in a lot of different ways, you know.
Yeah,
there are still some things that, I mean, no one's perfect, but there are still some things that a lot of people are like saying is not happening with the black man. But you have your individuals. But yes, I do think that it's a war against black men from wanting to fight each other, wanting to kill each other. I'm sorry, unalive each other. To when we're out here in the media, we can't say too many things the wrong way because we're going to be silenced, you know? To the whole Kanye Kyrie thing. So I just felt like, hey, Leonardo DiCaprio said something like that, it would never happen. I don't know.
I think you might be right.
It just would have never happened. Like, somebody made a valid point the other day. South Park has been making jokes about the Jewish people since I've been alive.
If there were the most Jewish jokes I've ever seen came from South Park.
Let's just be honest here.
Black people, okay, I'm not saying there's not a cluster of us that talk about this stuff, but by and large, we kind of don't care. Like, the only reason we're talking about this is because Kyrie and Kanye has been in the news for it, and we feel like, dang, this is overblown as hell.
Yeah.
You know? And that's basically our opinion on the thing overall. It's like, it happened, great. Not great, but it happened. We understand that it happened, but it shouldn't be like, this shouldn't be the main topic. Where is the Brett Favre outrage?
Where is the Has anybody answered outrage?
Y'all got me out here on YouTube and on our show agreeing with Jason Whitlock that the blame should not be on Kyrie Irving for reposting a retweet. The blame should definitely be on Amazon. Now, I'm not saying it was Jeff Bezos.
Where is the Brett Favre news?
Yeah. Now, listen.
Where is the money?
I want to say this real quick because I need people to understand. I'm not blaming Jeff Bezos. Let me tell you how making a successful business works from what I've studied. Okay. You have a company. You literally hire people to do a job. Jeff Bezos is not sitting in his office like, release this documentary. I'm not saying he hasn't done that when it gets to him, but by the time this stuff gets all the way to him, it's pretty much already out in the world because he doesn't make micro decisions. He's only 10% of the company. He's not involved in the main part anymore. Like, he let that go. Mm-hmm. So there's a department for Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people you need to take it up with. The people mm-hmm. that signed on to take this documentary, the people that approved it, that didn't go through it, that didn't really vet to see what it was. That is where your ire should be, not at Kyrie. So redistribute your anger away from Kyrie. He shouldn't have to apologize for a retweet, people, especially if there was no context behind that retweet. Now, as far as Brett Favre goes, I'm gonna need y'all to find that money. I'm gonna need y'all to get Mississippi up the code.
We're going into
a recession. We have Fed that's literally about to kickstart or trying to kickstart more interest rates. We can't afford that because they want you to go back into the workforce.
Where's the money?
Normal everyday jobs. So find that money for Mississippi. Make Brett Favre the person you are angry at right now, because I feel like that is a way more important situation than if Kanye said something to piss some people off on Monday. I mean, demand and apologize.
Where's the money?
Whether you accept, you like his apology or not, he did. He apologized. We got to move on from it. We got to move on from this conversation. And we are going to move, unless a person comes through and says, hey, we want to talk about, we saw your content and we want to explain this whole anti-Semitism thing on your show. Unless that happens, we ain't bringing this up no more. Unless something else happens to Kyrie, because at this point, I'm on Kyrie watch. He's been, lack of a better term, crucified for something that is unwarranted at this point.
There is one more.
He apologized for it.
Do have to talk about though?
Two. Go ahead. Yeah, we can't end on that note. We got to end on the highlight. So go ahead. You got this part. And
So real quick, I'm trying to make it quick as possible because it is really sad, and it has been a heavy episode for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, I felt so sad. Like, at the beginning, I was, like, really happy and, like, yeah. And now I just feel sad. But we lost a really talented brother in the music industry.
He was also
my favorite Migo, Young Sir Takeoff to the world, Young Krishnick. It was very unfortunate because I still feel like one of those people that are like, there's no way he's gone, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm at a loss for words at the moment because it's when everything popped off, before any news outlet could say anything, and this is how social media works, you know, before any news outlet could say anything, there's people tweeting him, rest in peace. People are posting it on IG, Facebook, before any news, even like the little small gossip pages, no one posting about it. Right. Just random tweets and everything. And I'm just like, what is this? Here we go again, where something happened to someone that is in the public eye, and you don't even have the decency to call 911 first. You don't have the decency to at least try to hold it to yourself until you see something that says the family has been, you know, notified, or from the family. Because a lot of the time when other people pass, it's always a message from the family. That's the first line that you always see. A message from the family. Unfortunately, so-and-so passed away, you know?
Yeah.
But why is it with our community, especially celebrities, something happened, and a lot of celebrities still like to do the everyday thing because, I mean, they're still human. At the end of the day, they're still human. So yeah, they're going to do the everyday thing. Why is it that when they're just out minding their business, something happens so tragic as his death, why are you tweeting about it? Why do you want to be first? What is this urge to want to be first to tell the world? I think I feel really sad over the fact that it was a video, you know, a couple of videos from what I understand, floating around the internet.
Yeah.
Before the family was even notified.
I know one was out, because I woke up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock that morning, and you know, and I did my little stretches and I rolled over, grabbed the phone, seeing if anybody hit us up or anything, you know, like I do. You know, this is business for us, so I'm always checking to see how it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, what is this? Because it popped up on my timeline of people being angry that they sharing the video, but they also shared the video to fuss about people sharing the video.
Yeah.
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't, but you know.
Why? Where is the humanity? There is none anymore.
Especially not dealing with the internet.
No one cares. And it's always, always black men, black women, black kids. Always. I don't know if it's because I am black, or if that's just an American type thing to just push the black videos first. I don't know. But I'm sick of it. Like, I didn't watch the video myself. I thank God for a lot of the new, like, click this to see type videos. You know, they put the warning on there.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for that because most of the time I have clicked those videos, but that first video that popped up, I was like, something told me, don't click this video. I didn't even know it was Takeoff. I didn't even know it was a takeoff video.
Well, I didn't know it was takeoff being unalived, or laying on the ground at that point, because we didn't see how he got to that point. We just saw him laying on the ground, and you hear Quavo, right, screaming in the background for him to wake up or something. But I didn't know exactly what the video was. They were just like, oh man, can't believe this happened to takeoff. I'm like, what happened to him, you know?
Yeah.
And then and you can't really tell.
Yeah.
At first glance, you have to be, I had to watch it like multiple times, like, oh snap, he's on the ground.
Yeah.
You know? But for me, on a personal note, and I probably represent a lot of Americans in this, it didn't affect me seeing the video. Like, at this point, it's just like
desensitized. Because you see another, it so much.
Another person, another death on the internet.
Yeah. And that's sad.
And we've been seeing this on the internet since we were kids, though. Like, I remember people printing things off, bringing them to school from the random websites where
that's
someone
true.
May have been captured.
That's true.
In another country. It's like, look what happened to this man's
that
head. And
true.
I've been seeing that since elementary school.
You remember when they used to kill the people for ransom on live TV?
Yeah.
It's true.
That part of the internet was wild.
Yeah.
Wild West days for sure.
Wild Wild West. But it's just really sad because it's like, I wouldn't want any of my family to go through that. You know?
I
wouldn't want my family to go through that if something was to happen to me like that. You know? I wouldn't want that to happen. So, rest in peace to Takeoff. It's really, really sad. My condolences is with his family, his friends. It's one of those, another celebrity. People are like, oh, why are people so sad about celebrities passing? They don't know you, blah, blah, blah. They make music, okay? And if you never had a connection with music or any type of artistry, you wouldn't understand.
Absolutely. You connect to those things for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Every song you hear has a someone's heart and soul put into it for the most part.
That is true.
So when these people, or you grew up listening to certain people's music, or you grew up reading certain comic books, like I grew up on a lot of Stan Lee's work or things that was inspired by his work. So when Stan Lee passed away, it's like, dang man, Stan Lee's gone. So it's like, I can understand that. But before we move on from this whole takeoff thing, do you think we should talk about the conspiracy that's going on? With
I don't want to hear it.
Oh, you don't know?
No, a sacrifice one?
No.
Oh, then what conspiracy?
It's the whole J. Prince Jr. thing.
Hmm?
So it was like 40 people at this event, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, speaking of those 40 people, two people within those 40 are responsible for that video going out first.
Allegedly or for sure?
I think he was there for sure.
Okay.
And you see him walk by the body as if nothing happened. But they were supposed to be under, what is it, the mob? Whatever that company's called. Entertainment, whatever. They was in Texas. They're supposed to be under J. Prince's jurisdiction, and Jay Prince put out a statement saying how hurt he was that this happened, you know, because it's Jay Prince. And everybody is like angry at Jay Prince because it's like, yeah, you knew you didn't protect him like you were supposed to. This is your job. This is what you say when you come to this part of Texas. We got your back. And people are speaking out against Jay Prince saying that, you know, he's all talk. So he may have taken a hit. He may have taken.
Now we know that's not a word.
He may have taken a hit on his reputation a little bit behind the unaliving of this young man. So,
I feel like people are saying that he's connected to it, basically.
Yes.
And if he's not connected to it, they're saying that he did not care enough to even get him help, basically.
The Jay Prince Jr.
Jay Prince Jr. Okay.
Yeah. So. This is probably going to shake up the hip hop hierarchy a little bit as well. Not that that's the most important part of this. I don't really know exactly how we even got to the point of this argument, but that was supposed to be an argument, and I think it's important for people to know that this is what, this wasn't some gangster bravado thuggery that was going on. Now, were they playing the dice game? That's quite possible. But at the same time, this is not some hip hop beef going wrong. This is just somebody got angry at a game and they decided to unalive a brother. Or they decided to shoot their gun.
We need to be looking out for each other.
We need to be looking out for each other.
We need to be protecting each other. We need to stop all of this senseless violence. It needs to stop.
I think that's a good way to end this conversation.
It really needs to stop.
We have to be better. Let's be better people. And I'm not saying people. I'm saying let us all be better as a people.
Humans. As humans, period.
Facts. All right, let's have some blow off. Let's talk about some songs, because you said
Wakanda that, Forever. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, because you said
I'm excited.
That,
it's on the way. It's on the way.
I'm definitely going to go see it. You mentioned that we are connected to songs. So mm-hmm. when you're having your depressed moments, what is a song that you feel like, I hear this and it lifts my spirit up?
Right, so, and it lifts my spirit up. It mm-hmm. definitely has to be a go-go song. Like, I don't know if it's because I'm DC bred type thing and I'm obsessed with go-go music.
I'm pretty sure it is. I feel like that's a big thing.
Another song that actually lifts me up in my spirit for real is Just Fine by Mary J. Blige. I don't know what it is in that song, but it might be the claps. It might be that. I don't know what it is.
The vibration in that song.
The vibration in that song.
It's all just... Ooh. Yeah. it hits a little different. I feel that.
And I like what you see when you're looking in the mirror. And that's serious. That's some real stuff right there. Because sometimes you look in the mirror, you don't like that man in the mirror sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
So I think I feel like it's a huge message behind it. And I'm glad you said lift your spirits, because sometimes when you're depressed, sometimes you just want to feel that sadness. So it's a couple of songs I know off the bat that stay sad.
But you know what, though? I feel like that's healthy, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you need to be in it to understand why you're there. And in order for you to have an understanding when you come out the other side of it.
That is true.
So I feel like that's a peer you have to have. So I think that's a valid thing for music as well. You got to have that depressed music. You know, having depressed music and then having violently music that's violent while being depressed, I feel, are two different vibes. Like,
yeah.
I don't need, like, violence. I need that music that says, this is what you're going through, and live through it type of thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
For me, the song that lifts my spirit is Going Through a Lot by T-Pain. And okay. It's been that way since I was, like, a kid. Well, teenager, of course. That's just one of them songs. If my parents was wrecking my nerves, or between you and I, Space Gang, I went through a period in my life where I honestly felt like no one understood me in my family, you know. And I guess in extension to the outside world too. So that song, in and within itself, was always that one thing. Like you were saying, sometimes you just have to be in it a little bit. And that was that one song. It kind of kept me there for a minute, but then it allowed me to break through to the other side. Then I feel better for a while. So it's one of them songs that I had on repeat. Even still to this day, it's a song that I continually keep on repeat. You know, and sometimes I listen to it when I'm not sad, but other times it's usually because I'm like, oh man, I am mentally drained. Let me go ahead and crank this T-Pain real fast. I'm good now. I needed that 5 minutes, or however long it is. Anyway, real quick, when is Wakanda coming out? What day? It's 11th,
Friday,
right?
The 11th, Veterans Day.
I hope you guys look great. Take your photos if you dress up.
I don't think
it.
I'm dressing up, but
I'm not.
I can't wait.
I'm just going to be there.
I'm going to just be there, but I'm not dressing up. Sorry. But,
man, Listen, if you're listening to the show, when you get from your Wakandan experience, tweet us and tell us how you felt, because I kind of want to see it, man. I want to see everybody's feelings and emotions after it's over. No spoilers, sure. Though. Don't try not to spoil the movie for anybody.
Oh, yeah. You actually see, and that's another thing. Somebody said to be aware of when they did a premiere? Last Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Last Tuesday? Something like that.
Something like that.
Whenever they did the premiere, people were actually putting, like, full scenes on YouTube and stuff. So, like, definitely proceed with caution in the social media streets.
Oh, man. When it comes to
Wakanda Forever.
I've not looked up or I haven't hit any hashtags or anything like that. I want to go in. After we did our initial thing, I think I maybe watched one more trailer and that was it for me.
E-Bombay, baby. E-Bombay. Happy anniversary, because we're not going to be here for me, myself, and I. Happy anniversary to me for being on the show.
Happy anniversary. You're right. We're not going to be here. Happy anniversary. We are going to do a game night.
Yes.
We are going to do a game night somewhere in between the break. Season finale is a great season. We were very happy that everybody came through. All the comments, all the likes, all the shares. We appreciate it. Every time you told us you were enjoying the show, or every time you told us that, hey, this wasn't a great episode, which doesn't happen at all.
It happened one time.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you. Happy birthday, Ace, because...
Happy birthday, Ace.
We will be on this show when your birthday rolls around. That's it. Again, thank you for a very successful season 6. Like, share this stream.
Thank you,
subscribe,
guys.
To the BK Space Show podcast. Yes. Right
season
here on YouTube.
Six. Season 6.
If you're listening... If you're listening on Spotify, also, you know, hit that button so you can be up to date on all the episodes when they drop as well.
Yes.
And Apple. Subscribe over there, too.
Season 6. Oh, wow.
6 seasons, right? Crazy.
We out here.
But it's over, so thank you guys for tuning in.
It's a wrap.
We'll see you on season 7. We up out this thing. Take it easy.
All right, Spurs gang. Thanks for listening to the show today. Novocaine, let them know what they can do for us to find the show.
Head on over to YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, turn on that notification bell so you can keep up with every single live episode or catch up on any episodes you may have missed in the past. Also, you can catch up on all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts.
All right, Spurs gang. I have been DBK Spades here with my very lovely co-host,
Novocaine. Baby.
Thanks for listening.